Welcome to episode 99 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as, wait a minute, 99 episodes? Seriously? 99 episodes? This show has lasted 99 episodes? What the hell, people? Why are you still listening? Why are you still with 99 episodes you've been listening to the show? Do you have problems? Do you have issues? Why are you listening to Ian Levinstein and Brent Cassina talk time after time here on Comic Timing? Why are you doing that? Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 99 on Comic Timing. And this is a momentous occasion where, it turns out that Peter Rios wasn't so wrong when he talked about meeting Brent Cassina and his wife, as it looks like there's been a momentous occasion in the world of Comic Timing, as, Brent's getting hitched. Woo!
Yeah!
Woo! Woohoo! She actually said yes to you, huh?
Actually did, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
What'd
you have to do to convince that?
A number of things. We won't go into it here.
Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
You'll be the first. You're younger than me and you're getting married before me. You suck.
Yeah. What's up with that, man?
Anyway, so we're doing this episode here, and stuff's happening, and we're going to talk about books, and that's the way it rolls. But by next November, if there's still a Comic Timing, there will be one host that is married on this show. Unless, of course, for some reason I get hitched by then, but you never know. All right, we're doing Review Corner here, and you know what? Before we do the Review Corner, since this episode will actually be out in a timely fashion, how about we do the Heroes Corner promo for once?
Oh my god, that would be so great that I don't have to do it.
Alright, well, this episode of Comic Timing is, as usual, sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com, and it's a momentous month for Heroes Corner, as they've got a bunch of Siege titles available for all you guys, and it looks like Dark Reign's finally over, or close to over. How about that? About damn time, right?
About damn time.
Well, how long has Dark Reign been running now? I can't even remember in my head. It's at least been a year, right?
It's been a little over a year. I want to say 13, 14 months, but I've enjoyed it.
Oh, well, so have I. It's just that I'm happy to see that they actually had an end game.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, with this here, you've got books like Avengers Initiative number 32, Dark Avengers number 13, Dark Wolverine 82, New Avengers 61, Siege number 1, and a bunch of other Siege titles. Most of them are 40% off. You're going to be able to get Siege number 1 of 4 for 75% off, written by Brian Michael Bendis, pencils and covers by Olivier Coipel, or Oliver Coipel, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And you've got Siege Embedded by Brian Reed. You've got Siege Storming Asgard by John Rhett Thomas. The list goes on and on. As usual, there are a bunch of tie-ins to choose from here, but that's all the stuff that you're going to be getting this month at Heroes Corner, and the usual discounts to be found all over the place. You've got discounts on stuff like Joe the Barbarian number 1, only 50 cents. Don't know about that too much, but hey, it's 50 cents, so why not? Mass Effect Redemption number 1 is 75% off for 88 cents, and make sure to use the promo code CTROCKS, CTRCKS, on your first order with Heroes Corner to get an additional 5% off on that first order, and things would be groovy. And our Comic Timing picks of the month are as follows. Everything's 40% off this month. Nice and easy. Avengers versus Agents of Atlas number 1, written by Jeff Parker, penciled by Gabriel Hardman, covered by Humberto Ramos. They've been doing a bunch of these mini-series with Agents of Atlas as opposed to the regular series, and this time, after taking on the X-Men, they're going to be taking on the Avengers here. Now, Brent, you don't really have much of a background with Agents of Atlas, do you?
Nope.
Okay, so this is going to be another one of those things where you jump in head first and either love it or hate it.
So excited.
Oh, yes, aren't you? I could tell by your excitement level that you are so excited. Come on, it's Jeff Parker. You can't go wrong. He's a good writer. You'll like it, I promise. I promise. Except if you hate it, then that would suck. 40% off, $239 at Heroes Corner, regular price of $399. The other picks are as follows. We got Adam and Hawkman, number 46. The canceled title comes back for one more issue, written by Jeff Johns, art and cover by Ryan Sook. What do you think of this concept, the whole bringing back the dead issues, bringing back the Dead series for the dead characters in Blackest Night.
I'm glad you picked that one, because that was the one I looked at to be the most interesting to me, seeing as how I haven't read any of those series ever.
Yeah, because you still haven't read Starman, and you're not exactly much of a Shazam guy, so I figured out.
Well, the Shazam looked interesting because it's all – I mean, all these things are current. So the Shazam one and the Hawkman one, definitely the ones that piqued my interest the most. But Question, it just seems like one note. Who's coming back? Vic Sage. And Starman, I haven't read any of those things, so I'm sure that's going to be multi-layered and a clusterfuck for me. So right. Glad you picked one that I was actually interested in.
Well, what's good about the one that you just mentioned, however, Question, is that it's actually going to be Denny O'Neil and Greg Rucka co-writing, they announced. So that's going to be pretty cool. Denny O'Neil back on the character that he basically helped form into greatness, and then Greg Rucka, you know, took the Question in a completely different, you know, realm. So and I think the actual original series artist is going to be drawing that too, but yeah, Adam and Hawkman's the one that's the most associated with Blackest Night, because it's written by Jeff Johns and Ryan Sook draws pretty, so this should be good. 40% off, $1.79, regular price of $2.99. and the other one, The Weird World of Jack Staff. Jack Staff's another one of those characters that I think we really should get to know, because well, it's been around for years. So I guess a number one issue is probably a good way to get into it, right?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, well, story by Paul Grist and art and cover by Paul Grist. So I guess we'll have Paul Grist to blame if we don't like it.
Okay.
It's $210, 40% off, original price of $350. Once again, use the promo code CTROCKS, CTROCKS, to get your 5% off on your first order. And the trade special is still in effect, so make sure to take advantage of that. You buy three trades, and you get 5% off the combined price of those three trades. So best damn customer service around, heroescorner.com, and we thank you guys for your continued patronage, and maybe they'll send you something nice now that you're engaged. Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not.
All right. It's review corner time here for episode 99. You know, we'll stick with the usual format. And episode 100 is going to be huge. We'll talk more about that later on in the episode. But we're doing four books here because we have one book left over from the month before. And the books are Spider-Man Clone Saga number 1, Adventure Comics number 3, Chew number 5, and Daredevil number 501. Bear with me here, folks. I've got a cold, so all my V's are going to sound like B's tonight. Yeah, your pick. Where you want to start off?
Adventure Comics.
Okay, good. Start off with the one I like the most. That's good. Adventure Comics number 3. It's the reuniting, and it feels so good, of Superboy and Tim Drake, now known as Red Robin, once upon a time known as Robin. Now, I've been following these guys since Young Justice, so I'm happy to see them rekindling their friendship they've had for so damn long. And Francis Manapul actually draws Tim like a teenager, so that also makes me feel good. Yeah, Ramon Box, I'm talking to you. So what do you think of the issue?
I think this is the best issue of Red Robin ever.
That doesn't take much.
Say that again.
I'm saying it doesn't really take... Yeah, am I here? Am I here? Hello?
You're breaking up.
Am I still breaking up?
Yeah, let's end the call and restart it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, how about now?
It sounds a little bit better.
All right.
I shut down everything earlier. I don't know what the deal is.
I don't know. It could very well be the fact that Chris is using the computer in the other room, but hopefully she's not doing something too intensive. All right. Well, if it gets bad again, just let me know. All right.
Okay. Doke.
Okay. Now I got to refine what I was looking at before. Hold on here. What the hell was that email? So we actually got an email that I want to read later. Okay.
Oh my there God.
Go. Yeah. No shock. Right. Yeah. No. It doesn't really take much to write a good Red Robin title. I mean, again, I've been liking the Red Robin solo title, but this is the Tim Drake that I knew and loved in Teen Titans, written by Jeff Johns, the way it should be.
I felt like this issue kind of explained Red Robin more than the five issues that have come out so far have.
Really?
Because of the way that Red Robin has been jumping around in time, it's so damn it wasn't clicking for me. Mm-hmm. And I hope that when Marcus Toe jumps aboard, the art will start to click for me even better.
Yeah, well, the first couple of preview pages they put on the DC blog, the source, looked pretty pretty.
Yeah. It's just sad that they had to shove Ramon Box over to Azrael number one and help that book get a weird... And that book jumped around a lot, too. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, I haven't read it yet because I haven't read the annuals that led up to it yet. But
okay, well, you don't really need to read the annuals, but it's a good thing that I read Blackest Night 4 before I read Azrael number one, because we had Black Lantern Azrael and I jumped up in my seat. But anyway, yeah, Red Robin. How did we get on that tangent?
I don't know, but let me also make the comment. Crypto gathering together all of Superboy's villains, brilliant.
This is like the first time I've ever really liked Crypto, really. It's just dog doing cute stuff.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I love it when Connor's, you know, yelling at him. He's like, Pa, die, don't you understand? And he looked back like, rrr.
That's kind of like Mandy's dog. Just kind of like you'll yell at him and then he'll go down and then you'll say, oh, okay, you're fine, and he'll lick you.
That's the case with most dogs, actually.
Probably.
Except for the ones that bite you in the nads.
Never had one of those.
Neither have I, luckily. But yeah, the issue itself is basically on par with every other issue of Adventure Comics so far. I mean, it's sad to see that Geoff Johns is not going to be sticking around that Adventure Comics, that he's going to be going elsewhere.
That pisses me off to no end, for real.
Yeah.
God.
I mean, Paul Levitz, yeah, sure, he's known for Avenger Comics. He's known for Legion of Superheroes. So I guess he's returning to it. But Superboy's not even going to be in the book anymore. So
why? I don't understand. Why bother?
I don't know. I don't know.
If he knew he was going to be on for six issues, why couldn't this be a Superboy miniseries with Francis Manapul?
That's a very good question. Yeah. Well, better yet, how about the fact that they're interrupting the story to tell a Blackest Night issue with Superboy Prime next issue?
Well, it's two of them, I thought.
Two of them? Oh,
I thought it was two of them, because the next there's two covers floating around. One is Superboy Prime punching through the cover to issue one, and then the second cover that I've seen going around is Black Lantern Alexander Luthor holding Superboy Prime's body a la Superman and Supergirl from Crisis.
Uh-huh.
So I don't understand if it's one, you know, that I'll look that up while we're talking. But
that might actually be a variant cover, because it says see Superboy versus Lex Luthor in issue number 5, and this is issue number 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that it's only going to be a one issue break, unless of course it's a split story like it is here, and they're just going to have Superboy and Superboy Prime be the split story.
That just bugs me.
Yeah, I know.
You were not even getting a full series like we were promised, and then. I mean, it's great he's going to go on Flash and all, but he's bringing this style with him. And I know we're still not talking about Adventure Comics, but I love the art here.
Yes.
We'll talk about the book. I love the art here. I'm just not sure that I will love it for the Flash.
Yeah.
Because this is so Norman Rockwell with the painting and the you're in Kansas and everything. Mm. And I just kind of feel like this painted, you know, ink style that Francis Manapul has, it slows everything down for a second, that you're actually looking at the panel and admiring the art and kind of you're in the slow plotting, you know, landscape of Kansas and cornfields and trees and beautiful sunsets and stuff. And I don't know if it'll work very well for a Flash book where everything is go, 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 go.
Okay, but do we know for certain that he's actually going to be using the same style in Flash? Because he did have a totally different style when he was drawing Legion back in the day.
Right. I do think that I read somewhere that he did say he's going to be using this same this same style.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, you know, you had problems back in the day with Freddie Williams drawing Flash, and I sort of, you know, grew to appreciate that after a while. And that was sort of the same thing, where it might have seemed a little bit slower than some of the other Flash things. Same thing with Daniel Acuna, you know, on Flash. That might not have been such a good idea. But I guess we'll have to actually wait until he comes out with an issue. We're not going to be like some of those people who immediately hate something before it comes out. We'll wait and see how Francis Manapul does on that after issue one. But yeah, getting back to the issue at hand here, one of my favorite parts of this issue, and the way that Connor Kent has been portrayed, period, is that he's not upset about the relationship that Tim and Cassie went through while Connor wasn't around, because he was dead. They were both grieving. That's why it made sense to me that the two of them would turn to each other and at least kiss a couple times, if not have a full blown relationship. So I'm happy to see that that Connor didn't overreact about the two of them kissing.
I mean, at least they had each other, but that's one thing that I wished would have been carried out further a little bit, Tim and Cassie.
Mm-hmm. since it just seemed to wrap up in two issues.
Yeah, it didn't seem like they really explored it very much. They built and built and built up to it, and then it did happen. And the next two issues, they talked about it, and we're like, nah, I don't think this writer really wants to explore it, so fuck it.
Yeah, well let's also remember that Teen Titans have gone through a lot of creative issues over the past couple of months.
Yeah, I'm still holding judgment on this new writer. Mm-hmm. I can't figure out if I like it yet or not. But I mean, I want to see the bring back Robin to the Teen Titans.
Yes.
Eventually.
Yes.
I understand he doesn't fit in now with his attitude and everything, but why are we waiting to put Superboy and Kid Flash into the Teen Titans right now?
I don't know. Well, and it doesn't even make any sense continuity-wise, because in some books it looks like they're already members and have been for a while, while in other books they're not. And that's why I'm pulling out my hairs here. You know, like in Flash Rebirth, it kind of looks like they're already members. And in this book, in Adventure Comics, it looks like they're already members. But in the Teen Titans book, Robin already became Red Robin and didn't even notice Superboy was back. And I'm like, but that's not how it happened. You know? I mean, yeah, sure, continuity is loose these days. Yes, sure, you shouldn't be, you know, hoping and praying that everything is going to make sense in comic books, but this is simple stuff here, people. You know.
Well, I'm not sure that we haven't gotten a scene yet where we saw Superboy come back to the present. I mean, it just kind of I'm not kind of fuzzy on Three Worlds.
At the end of Legion of Three Worlds, Superboy is there with Superman in tow. Superman reintroduces Superboy to Cassie and Tim in a room.
Okay.
I remember that. That was the second to last page of Legion of Three Worlds.
I forgot.
Yeah.
I just thought they would have spent at least an issue on it or something.
Yeah.
Where the fuck have you been?
Well,
can you explain this to us still? I'm still reeling from George Perez's hyper-detailed art and too many word balloons from that comic.
Jorge Perez.
Okay. Back to the future in Legion of Three Worlds, speaking of Superboy Prime. Mm-hmm. DC's website, 4 and 5... does say, number 4 says, written by Jeff Johns, art by Jerry Ordway, okay. Co-feature written by Johns and Shoemaker, mm-hmm. Sure. Co-feature art by Clayton Henry, so that's a Legion story, co-feature.
Okay.
Number 5 says, concluding the two-part Blackest Night tale of Superboy Prime,
huh.
And it says, written by Jeff Johns, art by Jerry Ordway, co-feature art by Francis Manapul.
Okay. All right, so in that particular issue, Superboy is going to be the co-feature.
Yes.
All right.
Well, he'll be in both, I guess.
Right. All right. Okay.
Fully.
That makes sense to me. Maybe, but still, let's get back to the issue yet again. Let's not jump too far ahead of ourselves here. Character-driven arcs seem to be Jeff Johns' strong point, specifically with the Teen Titans characters, and it's nice to see a little bit of growth here. Both for Tim and Connor, that by reigniting their friendship, both of them seem to have come to a bit of an understanding that they can, they can talk to each other about the bad crap that's going on in their life. Oh crap, Bruce Wayne's dead. Yeah, you know, you might be able to talk to me about that. You know, oh, he's not dead. Oh, I believe you because we're best friends. You know, mm-hmm. Because that's the way they roll. You know, because before this, Tim didn't have anybody that he could really turn to. Now he does. At least one person believes him, other than Ra's al Ghul.
I just think that this issue especially shows, I mean, there's so much potential in this series and in this issue alone. Just shows that, like, I felt like as I was rereading this today, just this afternoon, that or evening, that I felt like I was reading seeds that could be, you know, reaped 20 issues down the line.
Right.
A little bit. Like with this kid that's, you know, saying he can bring frogs back to life. It's kind of like a pseudo Lex Luthor, and I kind of feel like we're never going to get anywhere with this kid we should just ignore them because they're only going to be on for six issues.
Right, and didn't we hear earlier on in the series that he's supposed to like be wind up being Superboy's best friend?
Something like that. I thought they'd, you know, they're still building on their friendship, but it feels like as that's going to climax in number six, it's going to go the way of a different writer, or we're not going to see it at all because Superboy moves to a different book.
Yeah, what does it take? What does it take to just get a Superboy series? I mean, yeah, I like seeing him on the Teen Titans, and it's great seeing him in this co-feature in Adventure Comics, but can I please just get a Superboy book? And I mean, even if you can't name it Superboy for some stupid legal reasons, which I think are over and done with, you could name it that if you wanted to. Name it Kal-El or name it Connor Kent or something like that. Just give me the damn Superboy book that I've been wanting to read for the past 5 years.
I don't think it's the I don't think it's a Superboy thing because it says featuring Superboy on the front.
Right. Well, well then why can't we just get a Superboy mini? Or well, a Superboy series.
Yo, maxi series. Make it 12 issues. Right, I feel like this story would make a great 12-issue story.
I agree.
Going in and finding the good in Lex Luthor. I'm hoping that, you know, we're not going to get a rushed conclusion here in an issue and a half, basically, in six and half of five, or less than half of five. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm just – once they announced that this team was moving to Flash – and that he was – and Geoff Johns was leaving Superboy, not even the artist. But Geoff Johns is like the architect of this character in the past, you know, almost 10 years now. That it just kind of felt like a letdown. Like I took a chance on this book because I wanted to read it and I knew it would be good.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel like my investment has been let down because of book jumping.
No, I hear you. Especially because when Geoff Johns gets on a title, you expect him to be there a while because his track record has been that, you know?
Right. Or at least be there a while where you can find a person to take over for you. He was on Booster Gold for, you know, 14 issues or so,
yeah.
Him and Jeff Katz, and then for a little while – I can't remember. Well, Jeff Katz was doing the scripting and Dan Jurgens was on art. And then Dan Jurgens, you know, I'm sure they were all talking and stuff. And now Dan Jurgens has just taken it one step further. And yeah. I love reading Booster Gold with just by Dan Jurgens. Did
same
I say
here.
Jeff Jurgens?
I got what you were saying, though.
But yeah. I feel like they could do that with this book.
Well, here's a question for you.
And it's funny because this Michael Shoemaker guy.
Schumacher. Yeah,
Michael Shoemaker or Schumacher. No, it's Shoemaker,
yeah,
not Schumacher.
You sure? Because it's pronounced Schumacher.
It's spelled Maker.
I know, but it's pronounced Schumacher.
Whatever. Anyway.
You say potato, I say potato.
Someone in his family at one time made shoes. So it feels like that's what they're doing with Legion.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering why they just didn't do this with Adventure Comics so that Geoff Johns could plot it and then go do something else while still be able to do Flash and eventually this guy take over.
Well, here's a question for you, and I know that this just might be because of the way that it turned out that Peter Tomasi's moving on to something else or whatever, but Dan DiDio started out with DC Comics on Superboy, and he's said time and again that he has a huge affinity for Superboy. So, yeah, you've got Paul Levitz coming on Adventure Comics to write the Legion half. So why couldn't you just get even Dan DiDio himself to come on to replace Geoff Johns for the Superboy thing? Because he's obviously a Superboy fan. You know,
Superboy's going to Outsiders.
Yeah, you think?
They've got a Superman shield on the cover.
Huh.
And it's not Superman. Hmm. I think it's Superboy.
Because Supergirl has been an outsider in the past.
For like just in issues. her own book.
We discussed this. Yes, I know. That's why I
but,
made the comment.
since you brought that up with Dan DiDio having an affinity for the character,
uh-huh.
And the recent news that he's writing Outsiders now, I'm kind of thinking, and they said Superboy will be joining a team. We're not yet seeing him on the Teen Titans or hearing any rumblings about that.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
So I'm thinking it's Outsiders.
Well, because he already said in one of his most recent columns on Newsarama that it will not be Steel. And that's what most people originally assumed, that Steel would wind up being a member of the Outsiders because he seems to fit the team, but not happening. So it's either Superboy or Supergirl at this point, because unless you're going to have somebody like Chris Kent, putting on a Superboy outfit or something? Or,
nah.
Yeah, I mean, Mon-El's going to be a member of the JLA, so it's definitely not him.
Mon-El's busy. Superman's going to be busy. Supergirl's busy now that her mom is alive. Frankly, you don't have any time for a team book.
No, you're right.
And Superboy, you know, doesn't feel an affinity to Kryptonian heritage.
Nope.
At least so far, because he is a clone. And because he's never given a shit about it, frankly. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. No, he's always tried to be his own man.
Right. So I think it's going to be Superboy, and that's where you're getting the Dan DiDio stuff. But
well, maybe.
All in all, this is a great issue, and it'll make a great trade.
Oh, yeah. And let's talk about the Ouija
disappointing.
Half.
It's just disappointing.
It's disappointing that we're not getting a full story. Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah. What do you think of the Legion half? I mean, yeah, it's a throwaway story, you know, with Breck and some boy, but I like their interaction.
I don't think it's throwaway. I think this type of co-feature, where we've kind of rotated around a little bit the past, you know, three issues with different guys going on different adventures.
Yeah.
I think it's worked better than less co-features like The Question.
Okay.
And Captain Atom, because I read The Question co-featuring the latest issue of Detective Comics, and they wrapped up whatever story they were telling, and I was like, what? I don't remember what the story was to begin with, frankly, in that Question co-feature. Blue Beetle I can follow because that's simple.
Yeah.
And I love Blue Beetle.
Same here.
the Action Comics co-feature with Captain Atom, I don't know what the hell's going on there.
I've been following that entire storyline through the Jimmy Olsen specials. So
the art is beautiful.
Oh, it is, yeah.
With Kafu and, you know, whoever's coloring it. But
and I'm just happy to see a non-monarch Captain Atom, quite frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think that these one-and-done type stuff, you know, or two-in-one works better than an ongoing mystery a la The Question, because I just felt like that fell flat on its face.
Well, this reminds me a little bit of the Metal Men type stuff. You know, ones that are basically stories that are just fun and feel like they wrap up, you know, in the issue itself, and then you can just move on from there. I mean, some of the characters might be the same, but you don't necessarily have to read every single backup to know what's going on, which is good.
No. I mean, Blue Beetle, it makes sense that they're continuing that story.
Yeah.
Because he had a series for 3 years,
yeah,
and it's tying in.
Yeah. No. I was gonna say, and it's tying into to Blue Beetle. To Booster Gold.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm still not sure about Black Beetle's identity, but we can get to that later.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think it's really who he says that he was in this last issue, but
yeah. I like this Legion story. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, same here.
And Clayton Henry's art. I really think he needs to be on a higher profile project.
Yeah, same here.
Because he's been doing some great quality stuff in the past couple of years. I think he was on some X title at one point.
He was on the Avengers with Jeff Johns.
He was.
Yeah. Everybody forgets about that.
I don't think I remember that, but I know I've seen his art elsewhere other than this title, and I've never sneered at it or anything because it's just solid.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, where do we find more of these guys rather than, you know, like give Clayton Henry the Flash title.
That'd be cool.
He's a solid artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never heard of any late problems, but that's probably because he's not that well known.
And he's a Waringo type in art, and we know that works for Flash.
Right. And he does facial expressions and, you know, keep Francis Manapul on Superboy. It's got that Rockwell feel. Keep him there.
That would be lovely, but sadly, that's not the way DC works.
No.
Well, and even with the rotating artists thing, I mean, think of how many different artists we've had on Superman and hell, even Action Comics the past couple of months. You know.
Yeah, those. What happened to Renato Guedes? He did a fill-in issue of something.
Yeah.
I forget. And it was like, what are you doing? No, it was a backup or something. It was like.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing here? You're supposed to be on Superman.
The only guy who's actually been regular is Pete Woods on Krypton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and his art's been stunning.
Yeah, and Jamal Igoe on Supergirl.
Yes, that is true. Yeah,
who did take a break to do the World's Finest, but I mean, up until that point, he's been regular.
Yeah. Note to self: I got to read World's Finest number one because it's Sterling Gates and Jamal Igel. So it's
note
be
to
good.
Self: suck up to Jamal Igel.
Oh, Mr. $30 finally wants to suck up to Jamal Igel. Is that it?
You know, I got to save my face now. It's got to look good in pictures.
Yeah, you'll have to send a special invite to Jamal Igel or something.
From the beating I'm going to get at Super Show, it'll take more than 6 months for it to heal. So I gotta you know, kind of lessen the impact here softly.
How about this? You ask Jamal Igel to draw your wedding invitations, and you ask him to make them $30. I think that would be a lovely way to commit a peace offering.
$30 for all of them.
Yes, for all of them. And he'll say, boy, you crazy.
Hand-drawn. They're all of them. We're only inviting 200 or so people.
Only 200? Wow.
I think we're trying to cut that down, actually.
Yeah, that would be good.
That was a joke. I was just putting a round number on it.
All right. Well, the issue made me very happy, except for the fact that, you know, the story is ending sad, 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 wah, wah, wah. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, agreed.
And, even better, how nice is it to see the artist inside the book also draw the cover?
And for that cover image to be reflected inside the book.
Yes. I know.
Just like in issue 2.
Yeah. Well, I know you don't read Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but the most recent issue that came out, the Adam Hughes cover that he drew for that, had Buffy in the snow. And it had absolutely nothing to do with what was inside it at first, but they liked the picture so much that they actually rewrote the issue to involve snow.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes the cover, it is nice to have it have something to do with the inside. Just maybe. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. All right. Let's move it on to our first Marvel book. And we will talk about, because I'm waiting on Clone Saga, okay? Because I'm gonna have one hell of a happy rant on that. Let's go with Daredevil, Man of Fear, Man Without Fear, number 501, Mr. Diggle's first issue, technically, even though he did the list before this. This is obviously a start of a brand new story arc because Brubaker's gone and Diggle's on it, and Robert De La Torre is the new artist. And I liked it a lot and felt that it actually went with the Brubaker tone that came before it, so I'm happy.
I have not read Daredevil.
Okay.
I have read, I'll rephrase that. Not ongoing.
Okay.
I've read the first Brubaker trade. I've read all of the Bendis run, and I've read the Quesada stuff.
All right, so a decent amount of Daredevil.
So I've read a decent amount. I'm not caught up. I will say that.
Okay.
So the Brubaker stuff I'm not caught up on. But I did read Daredevil the List, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed that.
Good, because I haven't actually read that. So
That was pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good fight. But, I mean, that's kind of like – I kind of feel like that should have been this issue.
Really?
Because if you read the caption page basically at the front says it basically tells you what happens in the list. He fights Bullseye, building yeah. blows up, yeah. people die, and Daredevil has like this moment at the end where he's like, I will take control of the hand, and that's when they all don their Daredevil armor.
Yeah. Okay, see, now this issue makes a lot more sense to me,
right? Because I'm sure in Daredevil 500, they were all in regular red ninja jumpsuits.
Yes, they were.
And then they show up here, yeah. and it's like, you got the Batman Begins things on, you got horns on your head, and you look like Daredevil in his armored costume from the 90s. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? Yes. And I'm sure you're lost.
Yeah, see, I was a little bit lost because I could still understand what was happening, and they did explain the whole Bullseye explosion thing in the issue. Mm-hmm.
And they did talk about it with Foggy and stuff, and it's like,
yeah.
why didn't it – there was no precursor saying this happened in Daredevil the List.
Yeah, they really should have.
Or, you know, read this first. It's kind of like the Secret Warriors, the list that came out, happened after the most recent issue of Secret Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. I mean, it didn't have anything to do with what happened previously, but it's just weird.
Yeah.
And they're going to do the same thing I just read on IGN about Captain America Speaking of you know, us being fucked up with Marvel scheduling,
yeah,
you know, we picked number five, thinking it's gonna be the last issue.
And now there's the number six.
And now there's six. Yeah. And that led me to, you know, pose a question. I think last time we were talking about this either over email or something. What about that special Who Wields the Shield?
Yeah.
If that's still gonna come out next month after number five.
Really?
Before number six. But it takes place after number six.
Yeah, you know how this makes me feel? Justice League beginning the story arc that James Robinson is writing before Cry for Justice is even done, and it's referencing events that are happening in Cry for Justice that haven't happened yet. Just like what happened in Flash, you know, in that freaking Flash Rebirth that hasn't finished yet, where it was referencing stuff from like Legion of Three Worlds and all this other stuff that happened when Legion of Three Worlds hadn't finished yet. So this has become a going trend in comic books. I do not like this trend. I would like it to end right now. I would like it to be rewritten.
I just kind of feel like that special isn't going to be really that important or climactic, though.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, we've seen the Siege teasers, and it's fucking Steve Rogers. And come on, like we didn't know it was coming.
Yeah, come on. Well, this is how I felt about that that one issue of what was it, Dark X-Men: The Confession that came out. Where originally they were saying, "Oh yes, it's the much needed confession between Cyclops and Emma," and they were hyping it to, like, "This is going to be the moment where, you know, the shit hits the fan." And the issue that came out before that was where the shit hit the fan, and the issue that came out, the confession, was a flashback to that same issue, filling in the gaps, and I felt ripped off. And yeah, that didn't make me very happy. I'm not happy.
Back to Daredevil. So yeah, you do need to read the list.
All right.
Kind of like if you're reading Punisher, you need to read the Punisher list.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and mind you, I think I'm about eight issues behind on Punisher, but I might just skip ahead to the list.
I'm sure you know what happens by now. But
yeah, I heard.
I'm not reading the regular Punisher book. I mean, we discussed this at MegaCon, and you said I should read it, and I was like, eh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But I did pick up the list for John Romita Jr.
Yeah. Hey!
I'm glad I did.
Hey, I started picking up Secret Warriors again because I know that we picked that, and I'm happy that I continue picking that up because I had dropped it. It was off of my list. I've been picking it up at the store to bring it back up to where I started ordering it again, and I like it again.
So there's stuff coming in that book, man. I'm telling you, that's gonna I think there's another organization out there, Leviathan, that they're talking about, and. Yeah. Once that came out, I was like, oh, what is this? What is this? Tell me.
All right. Well, as usual, we're going off track, so let's get back to the issue at hand.
All right, back to the issue. Who is Izo?
Izo is a very, very old man who was a member of the Hand back in the day, like right when they started turning evil, and he's also the man who trained Stick.
Okay.
So the man who trained Daredevil, basically, was trained by him.
So Terrence, this is the man who trained Terrence Stamp?
Yes.
From Elektra?
Yes. This is the man who trained Terrence Stamp. Thank you very much for bringing that up because that is necessary information that the world needed. Yeah, this is that guy. He's very, very old, as you can see. And if you do actually go back and read some of the rest of Brubaker's run, he's been in it for about the last, I'd give or take 10 issues. Before this.
Okay. I probably will go back and pick those up and trade because I got to finish that first trade.
Okay.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. And Roberto De La Torre, man, this is the prettiest art I've seen out of him. I mean, I liked his Thunderbolt stuff with Diggle, but this is nice.
Did you see his Iron Man stuff on Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. when father and son team were writing it?
Nah, I wasn't reading it. The Noffs? Nah, I wasn't reading it.
Oh, man, that stuff. I mean, it wasn't like this. This is like Maleev type shit.
Uh-huh.
But that, I could go back and look at that and then look at this and go, oh, yeah.
Night and day?
Both. Well, no, I liked his stuff on the Iron Man Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay. It was strong stuff. Don't get me wrong.
It's just a different style.
It's the same style. This has more of a layered, less inky, sketchier. I feel like he's using more of his skills here.
Okay.
Probably because of the artists that have come before him. I mean, Iron Man's a pretty straightforward book. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and Daredevil, you had Quesada, who's like kind of, at that point in time was kind of cartoony and super detailed, right?
Yeah.
And then you have the intervening issues where Mac and you can't tell what the fuck's going on, and then you have the weird lawyer story with the shitty art, Lee Weeks or whatever. I don't think it was Lee Weeks, but his weird art wasn't as good. And then you have Maleev jump on doing his thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you get Lark jump on, and it's kind of like a step down from Maleev, but still kind of, you know, straightforward storytelling. And
right.
I don't know who did fill-ins here, but this feels like they're trying to get back to that Maleev feel.
Oh, yeah.
But it's – I think De La Torre, to me, this is my opinion here, is a better artist than Maleev on his Daredevil stuff. Because if you're looking at Spider-Woman and you're looking at his old Daredevil stuff and maybe some other things – to me, this issue is much stronger and feels less posed and photographic than Maleev on Daredevil.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Maybe because Maleev on Daredevil is taking some of that superhero stuff and warping it a little bit. But or maybe some of it is the mixed media and just maybe his style. To me, this is more of like straightforward grit on a superhero book. All the musculature is there. You got the feeling. You got the scratchiness. You got the shadows that kind of aren't shadows. And they just did a damn great job.
Well, I know you're not that familiar with the way Tony Harris used to draw before Ex Machina, but I think this reminds me a lot of that. Like, if you ever start reading Starman, which again I tell you, eventually you should. If you ever have the time and the you know the effort and the money to actually go out there and buy the omnibuy or the you know original trades, you'll probably see what I'm talking about here because it's photorealistic, but it's still angular. You know, like it doesn't feel like you're staring at a real person's face which has been digitally manipulated.
Yeah, that's what I feel like Maleev is doing.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah. No, I can see that. Specifically with his Kingpin, mm-hmm. I used to feel that sometimes things were a little bit too stiff and I liked the way he drew the Kingpin that he didn't draw him you know overly fat or overly powerful, but here the Kingpin's just menacing. That's what I like to see out of my Kingpin, you know.
Well, I mean, in here there's imperfections. If you're going from panel to panel, it felt like Maleev. Because he was using models at some point in time, I'm sure. Uh-huh. And I think he does on Spider-Woman. He's got a model for that. It's just kind of jarring. You know, you know artists who are good, but they're all, you know, whenever you look from page to page, it's different. You can still tell it's the same character, but,
yeah.
You know, it's art. It's not photography.
Yeah, well, I like specifically with Foggy, you can see that. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Foggy Nelson looks like a real person here. You know, he doesn't feel stiff. He doesn't feel too overly fat. He doesn't look like, you know, a bumbly sidekick. This is a real man who's suffering from the loss of his best friend.
Did his Thunderbolt stuff look like this?
It did, but not nearly as detailed as this. It felt like he was still trying to, I guess, bridge a gap between how the Thunderbolts was drawn before this, which. You know, was why am I blanking on his name all of a sudden? Dark Avengers artist right now.
Diodato,
yeah. Diodato drew before him, so I think he was trying to go with a bit more of a Diodato feel on that. And I'm not sure if he inked his own stuff in Thunderbolts. I think that might have been someone else inking over him. So it was good, it just wasn't nearly as detailed as what you see here in this issue. So I like this art a lot better out of De La Torre. And mm-hmm. since we've been doing nothing but talking about the art, how about the writing?
It was good. I mean, I jumped in this issue after reading the list and then getting this in my box. I was like, oh, man, I want to go back and find out what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
I want to go. It makes me want to go back and read those Brubaker trades and continue on once these come out.
Well, what's fantastic about Daredevil ever since Bendis wrote it is that when Bendis ended – there was a solid ending, but there was a continuation, and Brubaker picked up exactly where that left off. And where Brubaker ended it, it was an ending to his arc, and yet he left the perfect part for Diggle to do it. And it separates each run perfectly. You know, there were a couple of dangling plot lines, sure, But if you were to pick up this first issue written by this new person, you wouldn't feel lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Andy Diggle pulls off in this issue here. It's a Daredevil that, because I've been reading it since Bendis, I feel fulfilled. But even if I hadn't been, I'd like this issue.
Well, Daredevil for me since Bendis, and that's the most I've read, keep in mind. But reading this and hearing about Brubaker, it sounds like it's not a standard superhero comic where this villain comes in for six issues mm-hmm. and then leaves.
Yeah.
And then you get another villain come in for six issues and then leaves.
It's not.
And maybe there's a little bit here and there, but it sounds like it's an ongoing saga. I mean, the Kingpin has been plaguing Matt Murdock forever,
mm-hmm.
and he's still at it, apparently. And I'm like, who's Lady Bullseye? What's the deal with her? And you know, this Izzo guy I'm curious about.
Yeah. Well, and what about bringing Daredevil into the current Marvel Universe and yet still keeping its own feel? Similar to how Captain America, once they started bringing up, you know, Civil War, because, you know, for a while there, the Captain America book was still separate from what was happening in the Marvel U, you know, up until the end of Civil War, where obviously, you know, Steve Rogers bites the bullet, literally. You know, the Captain America book was still off in its own world. Brubaker was doing his own thing, but when he brought it back in, it still felt like Captain America. Here we have Daredevil being associated with the stuff that's going on in Dark Reign, and yet it still feels like Daredevil.
Well, it's bringing the elements that would fit within a Daredevil book into the book.
Yes, yes.
The justice system is crazy. The cops are crazy, mm-hmm. and that's because Norman Osborn heads everything.
Yeah, and how about the fact that Daredevil's been dealing with the Hand for the last, you know, 87 years? It feels like, you know, like the Hand just keeps on coming back to Daredevil, and this time he's dealing with them entirely different. As opposed to trying to stop them from the outside, he's trying to stop them from the inside. And you think to yourself, why didn't he think of this sooner? However, it could pretty much doom him if he gets engulfed by it.
Well, I gotta hand it to him. They pun intended.
Ba-dum-bum.
They're ninja assassins that turn into green acid. They're almost like ninja zombies.
Yes.
It's pretty formidable.
Right.
When you have a never-ending amount of them.
Oh, and let me add, by the way, that I read 500 and 501 back-to-back. My issue 500, there's about 10 pages where I don't know what was going on because they were reprinted from earlier in the issue. Yeah, so eventually I'm going to have to, like, either dig through the dollar bins or bite it in and just buy another $4 copy of Daredevil 500 because I'm missing a slight amount of story there. Just a little bit.
So reading 500 and reading this one, did you sense that you missed something in the list?
I did, mostly because they actually printed the first like 7 or 8 pages of the list in 500 to tease you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh wow, that's okay, so that's Diggle's first issue. Oh, well luckily 501's coming out soon, so I won't have to... Oh.
Well, the cool thing about the list, and then you probably read it in the back of 500, is that the Hands Corporation was talking to Matt in like the legal setting and stuff, and that was cool.
Yeah, yeah, because Matt Murdock isn't just Daredevil; he's also Matt Murdock.
Mm-hmm. But the list did not keep me from enjoying this book.
Yeah.
And it didn't. It enhanced my enjoyment of it, mm-hmm. but I would conjecture to say that if I hadn't read the list, I still would have enjoyed it a whole lot.
Well, I didn't read the list, and I enjoyed it. So that's right there. You know, I mean, technically, I read the first seven pages of it, but that's only because, you know, it's printed in 500. I still got to read the rest of it. But this issue, I was originally thinking of dropping Daredevil after this because, you know, well, quite frankly, you know, you got to drop some books. But this has got me reading it. I'm totally on it. I mean, this has got me hook, line, and sinker, and I'm not dropping Daredevil. I mean, mind you, I've been reading Daredevil so long now that it would feel awkward not to pick it up every month. But
yeah, I mean, 500 issues, man, you're on a roll.
Oh yeah, yes, all 500 issues are in my possession. You're exactly right there, Brent. Actually, funny story. I actually own a copy of I think Daredevil number 20 with I think might have actually been the first appearance of the Owl. Because one of my dad's old friends gave me this giant pile of comics when I was a kid, and that was the one, like, actually really old comic that was in it that was actually worth anything. So go figure. But 4.5 out of 5, definitely.
I'll give it a solid 4.
Okay. So I mean, are you going to go back and read the Brubaker stuff before you finish reading the Diggle stuff, or are you just going to pick it up?
I'm not going to get it. Uh-huh. Just because I don't think I should. I need to be cutting back. I don't need to be adding more things.
That's fine.
But I'm definitely going to go back and get the Brubaker stuff eventually. I mean, since I've ended Fable, I've caught up with Fables and Trade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finished Preacher and Trade. I need something else to, you know, to get going.
Then this will be it.
And I think Daredevil is the next one.
Well, you're guaranteed a good time with Daredevil, and it has been that way for quite some time, and I think it's going to be continuing to be that way. And one more comment on this before we move on to the next one is that I was happy to see that the supporting cast of Brubaker's run, which, you know, Dakota and the rest, don't really disappear in this, like often happens with writers deciding that they no longer need the supporting cast, Green Arrow, Black Canary, I'm looking at you, you know, just get rid of them for absolutely
no reason. Hey, they brought Mia back recently?
Oh, yes, they brought her back for, like, one issue. I mean, come on, man. Where the hell's Connor? I want Connor Hawk.
He's off being gay, whatever.
He's not gay, you fucker.
Oh, sure.
Oh, man. Oh, and in other news, I was just going to say something. According to the latest issue of Cry for Justice, Brick's not dead. I'm happy. You remember I was bitching about that? How in Green Arrow, Black Canary, like the first issue.
Of Kreisberg's run, it was like, Brick's dead.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, you just killed off a guy who's been the major mob boss in the city for how long in like one panel. Great guy, thanks a lot. But but no, apparently Brick's still around to be, you know, beaten the crap out of, because that's what happened in the latest issue of Cry for Justice.
And while we're talking about James Robinson, how did you feel about the Young Justice jab in Justice League of America?
I want to find him and I want to choke him.
I forgot about them, and I was on that team.
Go fuck yourself. Well, hey. It's okay, because when I was at Big Apple Con, and, you know, if you listen to the episode, you might know this, Brent, but I don't know if you did.
I did listen to the episode. It was wonderful. Wonderful.
Okay, good. Just checking. But, yeah, 47 issues, man. I'm binding that shit.
Good.
I'm binding it. It's going to be sitting right there on my shelf for everybody to read and be like, what's Young Justice? I've never heard of it.
Flack. Here you go.
All right.
Chew.
Nom, nom, nom.
Whenever you're ready.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Chew, number 5, written by John Layman. Art by Rob Guillory, I believe. This is issue 5, the conclusion of the first story arc. So what a wonderful time for Brett to start reading it, right?
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, was it that hard to get into it?
You know what? I read this in about 7 minutes, and I put it down, and I was trying to go back through some things for tonight, and I just was like, should I reread it? And then I was just like, nah.
Really?
I mean, it was like, we're in a bank, or something with a vault, and here's the FDA shock troopers, and somebody dies, blam, blam. Oh, lots of blood. Here's your brother. Oh, let me eat some dead thing. Wait, it was you. Oh, wait. Let me go home and let me eat some other dead thing. Oh, wait, it was you. And then you're going to eat me. And it's like the end. I was like, what the?
I loved it.
Waste.
I enjoyed every minute.
I mean, the end page, this is Mason Savoy. Here's what happened that we didn't tell you in the whole issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, put.
Well, he called himself, I mean, he was called Savoy, and then he was called Mason in multiple times during the book.
Well, I knew who that was, but just, and even the cover is just like, here's an evil villain. Well, is he an evil villain yet? I mean, I don't know. Well, obviously in this issue, he's an evil villain, and he's got an ear on his plate. And in the mirror, you see your hero with a bloodied ear. Just whatever.
Yeah, well,
I like the art. The art reminds me a little bit of Humberto Ramos, but
a younger Humberto Ramos, one where he wasn't, you know, bat nuts crazy and drawing everything all insane.
Right.
Yeah. I liked it a lot, but that's because I've been liking it since issue one, which is why I picked this in the first place. But do you feel like you would actually be inclined to read any of the other issues?
No.
Issue one or any of the others?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay. So it's just not your thing, huh?
Just I mean, it sounded interesting when I heard it described. Eat something and figure it out. But once I saw it executed here, and maybe it was the final issue and they're not exploring all of the things that I want to know about it, that maybe they've done in past issues, it was just like, you know, whatever. It just was just like one of those things that's just like not necessary for me to go back and seek out.
Okay, well, as someone who, you know, again, has been reading since issue one and, you know, saw the things that were actually leading up to this, such as, you know, that his partner, we knew he was shady from the start due to certain leanings. So this wasn't that big of a shocker that he turned out to be evil, but we didn't.
You mean he's a big fat guy with a mustache and a monocle?
That'll do it. That you know, he said certain things and you know, did some certain things that made me thought that maybe this guy isn't entirely on the level. But Savoy, you know, becoming the baddie here, I like the fact that there's, you know, a good man who eats things and finds out things and a bad man who eats things and finds out things. You know, that there's the proper villain in the story. But the issue itself, I liked it. I just didn't think it was the strongest of the five so far. Because, yeah, I did see this coming from the cover. You know, I mean, you could have made this maybe a little less noticeable or a little less not shocking. You know?
Just felt like it. They're trying to cram too much into one issue.
Nah, I get that. Yeah, well, they felt like they really needed to end this on issue five, which is odd because a lot of trades are six issues. You know, so why couldn't you have just finished it out in issue six? You know, end the issue on the reveal for Savoy and have the next issue be the explanation and the fight.
I don't know. I mean, and another thing about this issue, this is separate from whatever, it's an Image book. And there's no ads in the middle of it,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like went all the way through. I didn't even notice there not being any ads till I'm flipping through it now. And it's like $2.99. What's the deal here?
What
Marvel and DC? What is the deal?
The deal is that Shu is like the best selling book that Image has had in like forever. So I think that might actually be the deal, that they feel that they can actually charge $2.99 and still get their money's worth on a full color thing. However, the pages are a better stock than what Marvel uses also. So your guess is as good as mine on this one. I honestly don't know.
It was like when we read Doctor Who and that, for you know, the first one, the IDW book, and there were no ads in there, and it was all house ads in the back, and it was on damn good cover stock and good paper stock. Mm-hmm. It's like, why am I getting skimped on the mainstream books?
Yeah, well, and there's
that got all the money in the world compared to these other guys.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not even that there are, you know, like eight, you know, house ads in the back. There are two house ads in the back. That's it. And the issue's over. You know, that's kind of awesome that they're able to manage this. But this is something that Image does, though, with a lot of their books, from what I've found. I mean, I don't read that many Image books, but they seem to believe that they can stick with the $2.99 price point and have high-quality books and still make money off of it. And, well, Image is doing pretty good for themselves with that. So, yeah, DC and Marvel, what the hell? What the hell, man? Why can't we get lucky, like Bleeding Cool said, you know, now that Disney owns Marvel, that they should really lower the price to, like, $150.
Yeah,
you know, because they're Disney, they can do that, and they might wind up getting a bunch more people to pick it up at newsstands and stuff like that if they want to use their own distribution models. But that's not going to happen, is it?
Yeah, because widening the audience and market for your superhero movies you want to come out with is not smart at all.
Oh no, of course not. You want five people to go to the theater and say, "Wow, this is fantastic." It's a shame the other 5 million didn't show up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I like the story. I like the art, not nearly as much as I like the previous story. I like the art, though. That's as nice as it ever is, and I love the coloring in this book so much. I mean, there's always something extra special for me when it's an independent book. Yeah, I know it's an Image book, whatever. It's an independent book where the coloring is still rich and crisp. You know,
me, my young man.
Hey.
Image is not an independent company. I would call them one of the big five. They're consistently in the Diamond Reports done by John Mayall and Bob Breitel. And
you sound
they're
like,
not really an independent company.
You sound like the mayor from Homestar. You're a young whippersnapper. Get off my compost heap. Fine. A non-independent company formerly run by Rob Liefeld, had wonderful coloring in this book. There, you happy now?
Okay, I give it a one. Moving on.
I give it a 3.5. Moving on. And our last book, American Idol approved, Spider-Man the Clone Saga number 1. Well, first off, let's put on our plaid, and let's get our hair nice and long and listen to some Nirvana.
Overrated.
Go. Wow.
Nirvana's overrated.
Really?
To me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I much prefer Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, or Soundgarden to Nirvana.
I prefer Soundgarden, and I actually prefer Pearl Jam as well, but I don't know if I'd put Alice in Chains on top of it. Although I am an Alice in Chains fan, but all right, whatever. Yeah, Spider-Man Clone Saga, number 1, written by DeFalco, and art by Todd Nock.
Don't forget Howard Mackey on writing, too.
No, I'm going to forget him. Howard Mackey on writing as well. Frizza, Frazza, Frizza, Frazza. And Todd Nock, who is well known for his run on Young Justice. That's right, Young Justice, Young Justice, Young Justice.
I sense a theme here. Did you pick these books?
Yes, I did, actually.
Yeah.
So, retelling of the Clone Saga.
I'm surprised we didn't have Peter David Fallen Angel for the indie book. He would have had a home run.
Funny you should
characters, mention, writer, and artist.
Funny you should mention that because the artist of Fallen Angel actually contacted us if we want to do an interview with him and possibly Peter David.
Oh, well. Well, that'll be a silent episode from my end.
Yeah, I know. All right. Spider-Man, Clone Saga, number 1 of 6. Now, we both read the Clone Saga back in the day. No, wait. No, you didn't. So, as your first exposure to the Clone Saga, what'd you think?
Talk about one of those books where the cover has nothing to do with the insides. No Scarlet Spider.
Yeah, I know.
That
it pissed me off, actually, because I was hoping that they would actually go that fast, that he would be the Scarlet Spider right off the bat, but oh well. But, yeah, I mean, this story is kind of just the compacting of, like, 6 issues of Amazing Spider-Man from back then into 1 issue, which I'm happy about because it's not spread out.
I'm sure the fight between these two guys was like 2 issues.
About an issue and a half, yeah.
Issue and a half. I mean, and I'm guessing this Kane guy was like another 2 issues.
Kane actually was very mysterious for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he didn't show up for a major amount of time in the Clone Saga. I mean... You're reading Amazing Spider-Man right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you read... did you pick up Web of Spider-Man number 1?
No, I did not. Okay. I'm saying fuck that book.
No, I say
because
fuck
that. I was picking up Amazing Spider-Man extras and loving those, and then they went to this thing, and I was like, fuck that.
Yeah, see, I'm not picking up Web of Spider-Man number 1 past that first issue because that first issue has a Kane story in it which goes through his origin. Which was nice to have a refresher on because, like, yeah, I know his history from back in the day, but for a guy like you, you don't know who he is yet. I'm not going to spoil that, but
he's a clone of Peter Parker.
I got that
in the Raptor storyline.
Oh yeah, crap, I forgot. All right, so yeah, so you know that much. But yeah, he shows up in this about, you know, like 8 to 12 issues earlier than he did in the 90s run. I mean, yeah, it plays out like an issue of Spider-Man. I mean, it's not much of an explanation here. My major pet peeve, however. So, you're trying to have a book that I guess you could say is supposed to be timeless, right? One that you'll be able to read whenever and say, hey, this is the Clone Saga, as opposed to the 90s ripe Clone Saga from back in the day. You'd think that they would be going for that, right? Yeah. Okay. So,
I thought that this book would be laden with 90s references.
Yeah.
That we'd be talking about Alice in Chains and whatnot.
But instead, they mention American Idol as a throwaway joke. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, was that necessary? Was that honestly necessary? That took me out of the book. It entirely took me out of the book.
Oh, I mean, come on. Honestly, in 2015 years, are you going to go back to this series?
You never know. Really, you never know. Because by then, they might be bringing Ben Reilly back. It's possible. Anything's possible in Marvel Universe. People said that they never go back to the Clone Saga, period. Now we have a mini-series and an arc in Amazing Spider-Man that brings up Ben Reilly again. You know, you never know how this stuff is going to go. But, yeah, it pissed me off a little bit to see the American Idol reference in there. You know, if you're going to keep it without a specific time period, keep it without a specific time period. Sure, you're going to draw Mary Jane with long 90s hair, and you're going to draw Peter Parker with 90s hair, but that's not the point, all right? Keep it out of the book. That's all I'm saying. Overall, it was okay. You know, it wasn't anything like uber special, but it was nice to see a story like this again. You know, refreshing my memory on what I used to read when I was a kid. What did you think about it anyway?
I thought it was okay. I mean, I think I can say that I liked issue number 2 a little bit better.
Okay.
I am going to get all 6 of them just for the pain and suffering of I mean, I don't know why. It just was
you want to support DeFalco, obviously.
I want to find out what the original one was, so I never have to go back and read the rehash.
You know,
wait a minute. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
The original idea, so I don't have to go back and read the messed up one.
Oh,
but,
God.
I mean, it was okay. At the end of the day, this is going to be like a throwaway miniseries for me.
Well, in Canada, they actually have a trade paperback for the complete Clone Saga, which is available for pre-order. I don't know if that's
available. Is it as long as my leg?
I don't know, but it's apparently going to be available on March 24th.
Good God.
And collects Amazing Spider-Man number 394, Spectacular Spider-Man number 217, Spider-Man 51 to 53, Spider-Man Unlimited number 7, Web of Spider-Man 117 to 119, Spider-Man The Lost Years 0 to 3, and Subplot Pages. And that's not even the entire Clone Saga. So calling it the complete Clone Saga book 1 is a necessity because there's going to be about 7 of these.
Subplot Pages. So
yeah.
Basically, they're just hitting on the major things.
Oh, hells yeah. Pretty
it's
much.
It's like reading The Birth of Venom and getting like half of a story.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's available on Amazon Canada. I don't know if it's available on our Canada. Our Canada.
It only exists in Epcot, my friend.
What would our Canada be? I don't know. Yeah, it is available on regular Amazon also. I just checked on there. So that's it's available for $23.09 on pre-order on Amazon.com right now. If you ever wanted to read the regular Clone Saga, this is your chance. Don't. Seriously, don't. Actually, my favorite part of this is that they have, as the cover for this this collection that's coming out, they just have the cover for 394, Amazing Spider-Man 394, which confuses me. But oh well. Yeah. So back to the issue itself. So, did you know that Mary Jane had a baby?
I know that the baby disappeared somehow, and that there's no mention of it anymore.
Yes.
Along with their marriage. I found it funny to be that they're married in here, seeing as how this takes place currently with American Idol and all this.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
What the hell is going on with that?
Yeah.
Well, they were never married.
Well, this is an alternate universe, like the Spider-Man comic strip that Stan Lee draws or writes.
So back in the 90s when they weren't married and they were still dating and living together in sin and having babies out of wedlock,
uh-huh.
They were going to be married? Is that what this series is telling me?
No, this series tells you that they were already married and this is happening as
but they weren't.
This is
their marriage never happened.
This is without Brand New Day.
You don't know why. No. Not even talking about that. Okay. Talking about, we don't know why their marriage never happened. It never happened.
They were on vacation. I don't know. I don't bother trying to explain this to anybody, man, okay? This is the part of Marvel Comics that you're just going to have to sweep under the rug and continue to read and be like, wow, one brand new day has been really great. It's a shame one more day made absolutely no sense. You know, just let it go, man. Because they even explained that in the new continuity, Mary Jane apparently was never even pregnant in the new continuity. So this entire Clone Saga thing happened a little differently. But whatever. This is not Earth 616. Does that make you happy?
Whatever.
Are you satisfied with the issue?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I liked it.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 3.
Do you like the hair on Ben Reilly?
I like the hair on everybody.
Yeah, okay, that's good. And Todd Knock is a very pretty artist. He is. Well, you don't like it? Well, how about that green gook that's being sprayed all over the place?
He's very, very
90s.
Stylized, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's just
90s.
I don't know, Captain.
I can't take much more of this. Oh, yeah, and gee, I wonder who that man on the last page is. On the last page of the issue? Yeah. Oh, you think it's going to be the Jackal? Yeah?
He's in the number 2.
Oh, it was? God damn it.
Didn't you pick up number 2?
I haven't read it yet. Thanks for spoiling the Clone Saga for me, man. Now I'll never know what happens to Ben Reilly.
At least Ben Reilly goes blonde next issue so we can tell who he is apart from the other one.
Good, I'm so happy to hear that. Well, I mean, I thought the guy in the control room was obviously Norman Osborn, but...
Oh.
Oh, well.
It could be. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we don't know yet if it's still going to turn out to be the same villain. They might go with what they were originally really wanted to go with, and that was Harry. Because Harry Osborn makes a lot more sense than Norman.
Mm-hmm.
But, I give it about a 3 out of 5. It's good. It's serviceable. It's just, you know, it's not anything that special.
I give it a 3.
Okay, good. Wow, we actually agree for once. How about that?
We agreed on a lot of these things.
No, we don't.
This episode, except for Chew.
Gesundheit. Go get married. All right, let's. We actually have a email to read, if you can believe it.
Oh my goodness!
I know, right? That actually happens once in a blue moon. So this one's from Hank Postma or Postma, depending on how you pronounce it. I've been listening to Comic Timing for a few years now and thought I should drop a line about how much I've been enjoying it. Woo!
Where's he been all this time?
I know, right? Your podcast is interesting, informative, and fun, except for Brent. No, he didn't say that. Yet at the same time, professional, except for Brent. Okay, no, he didn't say that. I've tried a few podcasts that are not, and they are unlistenable. So whichever podcasts he's talking about, don't listen to. Recently, I've been dipping my toe into the anime pond. Wow, that's... Yeesh.
Brave soul.
Anime pond? Are there tentacles sticking out of the anime pond? I don't know. And have found your anime and con reports helpful. Well, thank you very much. I enjoy those as well, and they're going to continue to happen. Also, your Geek Speak report. Is it ever coming back?
Long dead, my friend. Long dead.
Discussion on Doctor Who convinced me to try the series. Well, that's good to know, Doctor Who.
You're the only one.
That's fantastic. Oh, I... Wow, Brent.
Just kidding.
You should really watch some of the early Doctor Who's and find out. I love it and have finished a new series just in time for the 2-year layoff. Keep up the podcasts. And that is, once again, from Hank Postma. And I thank Hank for listening.
Thank you, Hank. But I'm wondering, because CGS had an email like this recently, too.
Yeah?
Where they said that there were professional podcasts like CGS and unprofessional podcasts that they couldn't listen to or tried to be too funny. Mm-hmm. And I just went, oh, God, he's talking about us.
Nah,
so if this is that same guy, thank you for thinking us professional.
Yeah, man. Thank you
very much.
Hey, we are professional because...
Soothes my fears.
Yeah.
Soothes my fears.
We're professional because you can actually hear us. Unlike some of those podcasts that have really bad microphones and you can't hear them. That's true. That's true. They're out there. I've listened to them.
They're out there.
I can Born hear in the AIDS. Oh my god! You hold a grudge, man, because that show hasn't come out in like a year and a half.
I don't. I quit listening after two.
You hold a grudge. Oh boy,
it was terrible.
So here's the situation with Comic Timing here. Now, as you might be aware, since this is episode 99, after all, we are only one episode away, technically, from episode 100. So we're going to pull Raging Bullets, and we're going to delay it an episode. Because that's
delays!
The way it goes.
We're getting the delays now!
Oh,
wait, we've always had delays.
Yes,
never mind,
we've
sorry.
Always had delays, but...
We were really good last month.
We were, man. We were.
God damn.
And this month, we're going to get at least two episodes out, and
yes.
Make sure that we get at least two out. But this episode is 99. We're going to have a special episode focusing mainly on animation, which will be coming out the week after this episode. Whether we record it today or whether we record it later this week or something like that, we'll see. But we're going to focus mainly on the animated movies that have been coming out of late. Maybe even touch a little bit on some of the animated series, but I haven't really been watching too many of those. But mostly the Green Lantern First Flight, and we haven't really talked about Wonder Woman even. So,
or Wolverine versus Hulk.
Or Wolverine versus Hulk, and
Batman, Superman, Public Enemies.
Public Enemies, which was awesome. Oh no, I gave it away. And a bunch of that stuff is going to be released in the next episode. So call it episode 99.5 or 99B or 99Q, I don't care, but it'll be out. And then after that will be episode 100. Now, I'm going to read you guys the show topic for episode 100, so you can either post about it on the forums or participate via a voicemail or an audio comment. You can send me a voicemail on Skype. Username is Scary Monkey Show, and just leave that on there, and we'll air it on the show. And you can send us an email at comictiming@gmail.com, and we'll also do it that way. But here we go. Ladies and gents, prepare for the 100th episode of the Fantastic Comic Timing Podcast. It's fantastic because Hank said so. In this episode, we will be arguing with a slew of guests in rapid succession, a la episode 50, on which company has the more iconic characters. So we want to know which company / universe / etc. has the most iconic characters, especially etc. Especially. Not one or two, but in general, which group of characters is most iconic? As in, for you, when you think superheroes, which group of characters comes to mind? This doesn't have to be Marvel or DC. It could be anything. Six sentences or less. Go if you want to post it in the forums. Or make it as damn long as you want. We don't care. We'll talk about it and air it on the show. So that is episode 100. We are planning a slew of guests on this, like Brent Roach and like episode 50 happened. Probably have about four different groups. And probably split it up into two parts, because I think we ran about, what was it, like 3 hours combined on the last time we did this?
I want to say it was four.
Might have been four, yeah. Because I think it was like 2 hours and 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
Because our last bit, you know, since we weren't actually under a schedule, I know went a lot longer than the rest.
Yeah.
To the point where Wood had to leave because it was getting too late. But either way, that's what's going to be going down. And actually, once we confirm who the guests are going to be, we'll actually post that on the forum so you'll know who to expect on the show. But plenty of Comic Timing veterans will be on this episode, and possibly even one or two people that haven't been on the show before. We shall see. So are you ready for 100, man? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah? How many episodes have you been on? Any idea?
Since 35, I want to say. I think 35, but that might be too late, maybe before then.
No, let me take a look here. Let's see. Let's see what I can find here. First episode you were on was just like a news episode, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's see.
We're talking Moon Knight TV show.
Oh, my God. All right, fine. Good. I'll put a search in for Moon Knight and see what comes up. Let's see. Yeah, wow. I was so happy that Moon Knight TV show came out, right? Night searching, and that would be episode 22. Holy
what?
Crap, dude.
Wow.
Damn.
I thought it was much later than that.
And you know, you just passed your 3-year anniversary on Comic Timing.
Wow.
It was October 27th, 2006, that the episode was released.
Holy cow. Why have I wasted my time this long?
Wait, you're asking me that question? Shit, man. Oh, my God, man. Time flies when you talk to somebody on Skype, I'll tell you.
Jeez.
Hey, I'm just happy that I've at least met you at least twice in real life. So, you know, when your wedding happens, I won't go to the wrong building. Love the Halloween costumes, by the way.
Thank you. I liked yours. How'd you get the ring to light up?
Actually, it was a store-bought ring.
Oh.
We went to Midtown Comics, and they were selling $5 light-up Green Lantern rings. And I'm like, all right, that'll do.
I want one.
Yeah, no. They're, you know what? I'll mail you one if they still have them. I'll give you that as a wedding present. How about that?
Hurrah!
Well, it's better than that than like the 800 toasters you'll probably wind up with.
That's what registries are for, my friend.
Yeah. Damn it. You know, actually, you tying the knot is good because I have actually not been to a friend my age's wedding yet. It's sad, really. Because, like, you know, I know nerds. Nerds don't get married. But you're only half nerd.
I'm only half nerd?
Yeah, you're only half nerd because you're dating a non-nerd. What? That's the way it works, man.
You haven't watched her watch Heroes, my friend. And she's watching Lost on Hulu now.
All right.
Getting to that. Slowly, very slowly.
You're converting her. You're totally converting her.
Slowly, very slowly.
Well, didn't she also read Why?
Yes, baby steps.
Nice. Should introduce her to Ex Machina next.
She's reading Fables.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
She's not caught up, but she's on like 6 or 7 trade.
Sweet.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. All right, I think that's really all at this point. I mean, what else do we have to say? What else have we not done? Oh, right, the second Heroes Corner ad. Well, this episode of Comic Timing is sponsored, as usual, as it was earlier in the show, and it still is now, by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com.
Wait. I just got an email saying we're not sponsored anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it changed when this episode, so you don't have to do that.
Wait, what?
Second ad.
Wait.
I'm saying it during the show. I got an email from Bob and Sam saying they're you know, their power went out. They're going down under. They heard about Raph moving in with Ian and they decided that they can't sponsor us anymore.
You fucker. You know how scared I just got, man? I just loaded up my email, my separate email account, to confirm that. Congratulations on 100 episode. We're pulling the sponsorship. So, make sure to use that promo code CTROCKS while it lasts. That's CTROCKS to get an additional 5% off on your order with Heroes Corner. Oh, this is going to be the worst.
That's going to go down like Jim saying he saw Batman in Superman.
Oh, that is like great moments in podcasting history right there. I wish I could have seen the look on Sean's face when that went down, because I'm sure he turned white. I was like, wait, I've seen this 4 times. How did I miss that? No, he was right there. I swear. He was in the coffee shop. Yeah, that bastard. Outsiders number 26 is 50% off for $1.50. Will it be Superboy? We don't know. But it certainly has got an S symbol on it, so we shall see. Superhero Squad number 1, 50% off for $1.50. What appears to be Hal in either the Parallax outfit or the Kingdom Come outfit. I can't tell which one. On Green Lantern number 50, 40% off for $2.39. And a bunch of other wonderful books. Meanwhile, Pick Any Path, 3,856 story possibilities, 35% off for $10.37. And Aladdin Legacy of the Lost, ooh, that could be interesting, 35% off for $3.24. But most importantly, the Comic Timing picks of the month are as follows. Avengers versus Atlas number 1. This is Jeff Parker, penciled by Gabriel Hardman, 40% off for $2.39. We got Adam and Hawkman number 46. Blackest Night tie-in, bringing back the series for one more issue. 40% off for $1.79. Jeff Johns and art and cover by Ryan Suk. And The Weird World of Jack Staff, numero uno, 40% off for 210. Story and art by Paul Grist. Yet again, the promo code is CTROCKS, that's CTROCKS, which is no longer valid for anyone named Cassina. So make sure to check out all of the savings over at Heroes Corner. Best damn customer service around, heroescorner.com. Please don't dub us. Please. Please. Seriously, you're good guys. You're good guys. However you hear me. All right, we're done, I believe. Unless, Brent, you got anything else coming up? Any BK's bullets for the RB crowd or the CT crowd?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Trying to find the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, your time is going to be a hell of a lot more limited now.
Exactly.
You got a lot of planning to do, don't you? All right. Well, check out his old stuff at RagingBullets.com, where you can hear him talk about how good Smallville season, what was it, 6 was?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Something like that.
All right, and you can hear me on old episodes of Geek Speak Report that are probably never going to happen anymore. I don't know.
Really, really old.
Yeah, one of these days we're just going to put out an episode, everybody's going to be shocked, and that'll be like the last one that comes out for another 4 years after that. Just watch, it'll happen. And that it's basically that. Probably going to be recording an episode with Raph sometime this week for the Sporting Goods, going over the Yankees victory. Yeehaw! In the World Series, and Raph's attendance at the parade and how it went, and we'll go through all that. So make sure to pay attention to that or at the Geeks Unite feed, or it'll probably be simulcasted on the Comic Timing feed, much to Brent's chagrin, that is. Oh well. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com, graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com, and we're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please, 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 please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. Let us know what you thought of the first 99 episodes, 99 plus episodes of Comic Timing. There are a couple of specials in there. I think we've got like 107 combined or something like that. But make sure to check those out. And please, iTunes, review us. Please, 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 please. And that is basically it. So, for Mr. Smarty Pants Cassina, who is officially on my naughty list for Christmas, and me, Ian Levinstein, as always, there's always time for comics. Seriously, don't. Stop it. Spot you. Please. Seriously. This is your night? Is that what I heard in the background?
Yeah.
I didn't know that this was set by appointment.
Well, since my laptop, actual laptop screen is out, and I have to use this CRT monitor I've been using for like the past 3-4 months or something.
Oh my god, man.
Yeah, I'm in the computer room with Dad's computer, so it's like, sorry, Dad.
The laptop isn't under warranty anymore?
Dude, this thing I've had this since I went into college.
Ooh.
There's no warranty on this thing anymore.
Oh, did I tell you the shit I went through to get my my motherboard replaced on my Dell?
Is this since the last time I talked to you?
No, that was before that, but I forget whether or not I actually told you about that.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, the laptop was emitting this high-pitched squeal, so I wound up contacting Dell about it. Told them that it wasn't the hard drive, that it was definitely coming from the motherboard. And they're like, okay, sure thing. Because, of course, the guy was from India, because where the fuck else would he be from if he's customer service? So, you know, he sets it up. Oh, yes, you send us a laptop and you'll get it back in a couple of weeks. Okay, yes, no, okay, hot dog. So, you know.
Hot pocket.
Welcome to the Quickie Mart. So, you know, I send it in and I get it back. And inside is a note saying that the hard drive that you requested isn't available and that you'll be getting it soon. And the motherboard wasn't fixed.
So you didn't say anything about a hard drive, did you?
No, I didn't. So, yeah, I get back in contact with them, and I'm like, what the fuck? And they're like, oh, yes, 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 very, very sorry. We will send someone to your house to replace the motherboard and deal with the hard drive issues. I'm like, what hard drive issues? What the hell are you even talking about? So they give me this second hard drive. I want to pay for it anyway, because that's what I'm using now on my hard, on my laptop, because I got Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did a clean install on that and kept the other one as the backup.
So like, you like 7? You
yeah,
like 7?
I'm liking it a lot. It's ridiculously better than Windows Vista. It's like the difference between a hot dog and a dirty water hot dog. Or a hot dog and a pile of crap.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually a better description. Yeah, Windows 7 is a hot dog.
Didn't know what dirty water
hot dog. Dirty water hot dog would be a New York hot dog. One that's served to you, you know, on the street, and you have no idea where it's been.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, that's probably by the same Indian who's talking on customer service with me. Yeah, and so we took the trip to Seattle, and we learned that the suburb of Seattle that the office is located in is really, really boring, ridiculously dull, and did I mention boring? But Seattle itself is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out soon whether or not one of us or both of us is taking a trip there for a few months.
For a few months?
Yeah, for a few months. Well, basically, if Chris gets offered a raise, she might wind up taking it and going there for a year. Whether or not I go with her is still up in the air, because I don't know whether or not they're going to be offering me anything.
Mm-hmm.
If they offer me a part-time position for 2 months while I take the screenshots, meaning that, you know, 5 days a week, they put me up room and board, obviously pay me more than I'm currently being paid, and we'll see where that goes. Because they said, oh yes, we might continue with the contracting thing and then see where it goes from there. I'm like, yeah, great, that's going to help me out a lot, you fuckers. You know, because if I go there for 2 months and she's there for a year, how the hell do you get an apartment? You know?
Right.
So if she winds up there and I wind up here, then yes, I am actually saying these words, Raph might wind up moving in to this apartment that I'm currently sitting in.
Just 1 second. Let me check the rafters. Make sure the world's not coming to an end. Just 1 second. Give me a moment. We did have the power go out earlier tonight.
Oh, yeah?
And everything shut down. It was as I was restarting my computer, it's almost up and running. The power did go out. So now that you've said those words, I just want to make sure nothing else will happen.
Well, if both of us wind up going, we might actually have Raph house sit. Because, I mean, we're not losing this apartment. We got all our shit here. There's no way in hell we're taking it all to Seattle.
Right. You know? Okay.
Especially if it's only going to be a year.
All right. I think it's safe. All right. Only a year. Oh, expound upon that, my good friend.
Well, basically, she's forced to be there at least a year, or she has to give back the money that they're going to give her to move.
Mm-hmm.
After a year, she can go wherever the hell she wants, and if she wants to come back to New York, she can do that. But that's basically the plan. Either she goes there, you know, is there for at least a year and then comes back, or stays there, or stays here and gets severance. For me, it's either I stay here and I find a new job, or they offer me something for 2 months and I go there, or they offer me something full time and I think about whether or not I actually want to move to Seattle.
Hmm.
That's the conundrum that I'm currently dealing with right now.
Have you started looking for a new job, just in case?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I've been constantly looking, and, you know, I mean, my search is going to be going up tenfold in the next, you know, in this week, basically, because if I can get a couple of interviews, then I'm going to, you know, convince myself that the world will not end if I don't take their offer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but either way, dude, I mean, this whole thing is, like, really a pain in the ass, because her decision needs to be made by Sunday, and they still haven't told me anything about what I'm going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not cool. You know, this is one of those situations that I fucking hate being in, because it's like, you go one way or you go the other way, and you're screwed either way.
Mm-hmm.
Fun for the whole fucking family. That's where I'm at. How you doing?
Doing great.
Well, good to know.
When's the last time we talked? I forgot.
It's been a while, dude. It's been like 20.
Was it the middle of October?
It might be the middle of October, yeah.
Okay, well, Mandy and I got engaged.
Dude!
October 18th, yeah.
Congratulations!
It was on Facebook. Where the fuck have you been?
Yes.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, so we both got the day off tomorrow for Veterans Day, so we're going to be looking at reception halls. So we're thinking next November.
Okay.
So I think New York is out of the question.
Gee, you think.
Right. And CGS is up in the air now.
Yeah.
Okay. So
because you got to save your money in any way.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I might try and make my, I mean, depending on how, you know, my funding and where I am, I might still try and make my ass down there for many times.
Yeah, I won't hold it against you if you're not able to make it.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'll just say you have to come down in November for the wedding.
Well,
so
that's a given. I mean, come on. How the hell could I miss that wedding?
Because obviously you're invited. So there you go.
Thank
unofficially.
You. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm the out-of-state friend this night. Now is Raph invited? That's the question.
Well, I don't talk to him on a semi-regular basis. I'm sorry, my friend.
I know. That's lovely. That's fantastic. Well, I thank you very much for the invitation, and I hope you guys have years of happiness.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And now I just hope that I'm not the only person there that I know.
Probably.
Yeah, I know. I figured.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Yeah, well. You seem to have cool friends from what I found, so, you know, it won't be like one of those weddings that I go to where I sit there in the back of the room like, yeah, I don't know anybody, just gonna clap and hope that I'm clapping at the right people. Ooh, yay. Hey, woohoo.
Nah, get some good people.
Ooh, yeah.
So, we got, what is it, four books?
We got four books, yeah.
Okay.
Books. So what are you gonna do with your comics once you're married?
I don't know, we're gonna keep them. That's not a I don't know, that's a we're gonna keep them.
You have to get yourself a comic room.
No, I don't think I'm getting that until we get a house, but
yeah,
apartment, cool. It'll be a storage room or something.
Yeah, or you'll rent the storage space somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll try to find a way to make it fit.
Well, I mean, you could just pull a Murd and, you know, like I said, I mean, with the storage space, just live in the storage space, basically, and just go there once a week.
I don't want to do that.
You're gonna have a man cave, watch.
I don't have. Well, it's getting bigger by the pound here. It's like every 2 months, it's like adding a box or something like that. All this shit. I need to cut down for real. I need to sort through it, but all the stuff is like I've read all this stuff.
Well, and you know, you totally just gave me the intro to this show. I mean, you're gonna have to wait until after I say it, but no, it's gonna be fun.
So, do you want to do Because I'm off tomorrow, so no matter how late we go.
Okay.
Do you want to just play it by ear and then see after we end this what time it is? And then see if you want to do that 0.5 on animated ones. Maybe we could just go for like 30 minutes or something.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, basically, let's see how I am also, whether I still have a voice after this, because I've been so nasally. I don't know how long I'm going to last.
Okay.
And you can totally blame the weather in Seattle for this, by the way, because it... Man, it poured, and then it stopped, and then it drizzled, and then it poured, and then it stopped, and then it drizzled, and it basically just repeated that over and over again.
Yeah, well, welcome to the state of Washington, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. They actually get less precipitation than New York, on average.
Huh.
Like, this was, like, out of the ordinary for it to actually be pouring there, but the weather was so insane, basically just to prove that we should not move to Seattle.
So what does scheduling look like for 100?
Well, I'm thinking, okay, let's see. Today's the 10th, so let's schedule it tentatively for the 24th.
Okay.
All right, and we'll see if anybody's available that day, and if we need to do it a different day during the week, that's fine. But I'll send out the multiple PMs like I did that the last time, and yeah, maybe even a couple of emails to people and just be like, you need to be on this show. Seriously, you need to be on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see where it goes. And it's a given that you'll be on all of them.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So let's do this. I got all four here, and I can't wait to talk about the American Idol reference in fucking Clone Saga. Jesus Christ. All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Goodbye.
You fucker. It's like you know which buttons to push, exactly when to push them, too. Because, you know, oh, yeah, this button right here. Actually, I just got the email. We're no longer sponsored.
You just started saying it hasn't changed within this episode, and I was like, ah, cool.
This is your night? Is that what I heard in the background?
Yeah.
I didn't know that this was set by appointment.
Well, since my actual laptop screen is out, and I have to use this CRT monitor I've been using for like the past 3-4 months or something.
Oh my god, man.
Yeah, I'm in the computer room with Dad's computer, so it's like, sorry, Dad.
The laptop isn't under warranty anymore?
Dude, this thing is I've had this since I went into college.
Ooh,
there's no warranty on this thing anymore.
Oh god. Oh, did I tell you the shit I went through to get my my motherboard replaced on my Dell?
Is this since the last time I talked to you?
No, that was before that, but I forget whether or not I actually told you about that.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, the laptop was emitting this high-pitched squeal, so I wound up contacting Dell about it. Told them that it wasn't the hard drive, that it was definitely coming from the motherboard, and they're like, okay, sure thing, because of course the guy was from India, because where the fuck else would he be from if he's customer service? So, you know, he sets it up. Oh, yes, you send us a laptop and you'll get it back in a couple of weeks. Okay, yes, no, okay, hot dog. So, you know,
Hot pocket.
Welcome to the Quickie Mart. So, you know, I send it in and I get it back. And inside is a note saying that the hard drive that you requested isn't available and that you'll be getting it soon. And the motherboard wasn't fixed.
So you didn't say anything about a hard drive, did you?
No, I didn't. So, yeah, I get back in contact with them, and I'm like, what the fuck? And they're like, oh, yes, very, very sorry. We will send someone to your house to replace the motherboard and deal with the hard drive issues. I'm like, what hard drive issues? What the hell are you even talking about? So they give me the second hard drive. I wound up paying for it anyway, because that's what I'm using now on my laptop, because I got Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did a clean install on that and kept the other one as the backup.
But, so you like 7? Like 7?
I'm liking it a lot. It's ridiculously better than Windows Vista. It's like the difference between a hot dog and a dirty water hot dog. Or a hot dog and a pile of crap.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually a better description. Yeah, Windows 7 is a hot dog.
Didn't know what dirty water hot dog was.
Dirty water hot dog would be a New York hot dog. One that's served to you, you know, on the street and you have no idea where it's been.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, probably by the same Indian who's talking on customer service with me. Yeah, and so we took the trip to Seattle and learned that the suburb of Seattle that the office is located in is really, really boring, ridiculously dull, and did I mention boring? But Seattle itself is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out soon whether or not one of us or both of us is taking a trip there for a few months.
For a few months?
Yeah, for a few months. Well, basically, if Chris gets offered a raise, she might wind up taking it and going there for at least a year. Whether or not I go with her is still up in the air, because I don't know whether or not they're going to be offering me anything.
Mm-hmm.
If they offer me a part-time position for 2 months while I take the screenshots, meaning that, you know, 5 days a week, they put me up room and board, obviously pay me more than I'm currently being paid, and we'll see where that goes. Because they said, oh, yes, we might continue with the contracting thing and then see where it goes from there. I'm like, yeah, great, that's going to help me out a lot, you fuckers. You know, because if I go there for 2 months and she's there for a year, how the hell do you get an apartment, you know?
Right.
So if she winds up there and I wind up here, then yes, I am actually saying these words. Raph might wind up moving in to this apartment that I'm currently sitting in.
Just 1 second. Let me check the rafters. Make sure the world's not coming to an end. Just 1 second. Give me a moment. We did have the power go out earlier tonight.
Oh, yeah?
And everything shut down. It was as I was restarting my computer, it was almost up and running. The power did go out. Okay. So now that you've said those words, I just want to make sure nothing else will happen.
Well, if both of us wind up going, we might actually have Raph house sit. Because, I mean, we're not losing this apartment. We got all our shit here. There's no way in hell we're taking it all to Seattle.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Especially if it's only going to be a year.
So. All right. I think it's safe. All right. Only a year. Oh, expound upon that, my good friend.
Well, basically, she's forced to be there at least a year, or she has to give back the money that they're going to give her to move. After a year, she can go wherever the hell she wants, and if she wants to come back to New York, she can do that. But that's basically the plan. Either she goes there, you know, is there for at least a year, and then comes back or stays there, or stays here and gets severance. For me, it's either I stay here and I find a new job, or they offer me something for 2 months and I go there, or they offer me something full time and I think about whether or not I actually want to move to Seattle. That's the conundrum that I'm currently dealing with right now.
Have you started looking for a new job just in case?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. I mean, I've been constantly looking, and you know, I mean, if my search is going to be going up tenfold in the next, you know, in this week, basically, because if I can get a couple of interviews, then I'm going to, you know, convince myself that the world will not end if I don't take their offer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but either way, dude. I mean, this whole thing is like really a pain in the ass because her decision needs to be made by Sunday, and they still haven't told me anything about what I'm going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not cool. You know, this is one of those situations that I fucking hate being in because it's like, you go one way or you go the other way, and you're screwed either way.
Mm.
Fun for the whole fucking family. Yeah. So that's where I'm at. How you doing?
Doing great.
Well, good to know.
When's the last time we talked? I forgot.
It's been a while, dude.
It's been like
2 days.
Was it the middle of October?
Might be the middle of October, yeah.
Okay, well, Mandy and I got engaged.
Dude!
October 18th, yeah.
Congratulations!
It was on Facebook. Where the fuck have you been?
Yes.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, so we both got the day off tomorrow for Veterans Day, so we're going to be looking at reception halls. So we're thinking next November.
Okay.
So I think New York is out of the question.
Gee, you think?
Right. And CGS is up in the air now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
because you gotta save your money in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I might try and make my. I mean, depending on how, you know, my funding and where I am, I might still try and make my ass down there for MegaCon at least.
Yeah, I won't hold it against you if you're not able to make it.
Yeah, I know. But
because I'll just say you have to come down in November for the wedding.
Well,
so
that's a given. I mean, come on. How the hell could I miss that wedding? Shit.
Because obviously you're invited, so there you go.
Why, thank
unofficially.
You. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm the out-of-state friend that's invited. Now is Raph invited? That's the question.
Well, I don't talk to him on a semi-regular basis.
Fucking knew it.
I'm sorry, my friend.
I know. That's lovely. That's fantastic. Well, I thank you very much for the invitation, and I hope you guys have years of happiness.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And now I just hope that I'm not the only person there that I know.
Probably.
Yeah, I know. I figured as much.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Yeah, well. You seem to have cool friends from what I found, so, you know. It won't be like one of those weddings that I go to where I sit there in the back of the room like, yeah, I don't know anybody, just going to clap and hope that I'm clapping at the right people. Ooh, yay. Yay, woohoo.
Nah, get some good people.
Ooh, yeah.
So, we got, what is it? Four books?
We got four books. Yeah, we got four
books. Okay.
So what are you going to do with your comics once you're married?
I don't know. We're going to keep them. That's not a I don't know. That's a we're going to keep them.
You have to get yourself a comic room.
No, I don't think I'm getting that until we get a house, but
anyway,
that's apartment. It'll be a storage room or something.
Yeah, or you'll rent the storage space somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
All right.
We'll try to find a way to make it fit.
Well, I mean, you could just pull a Murd and, you know, like I said, I mean, with the storage space, just live in the storage space, basically, and just go there once a week.
I don't want to do that.
You're going to have a man cave, watch.
I don't have, well, it's getting bigger by the pound here. It's like every 2 months, it's like adding a box or something like that, all this shit. I need to cut down for real. I need to sort through it, but all the stuff is like, I've read all this stuff.
Well, and you know, you totally just gave me the intro to this show. I mean, you're gonna have to wait until after I say it, but you know, it's gonna be fun. Now that you're engaged,
do you want to do? Because I'm off tomorrow, so it doesn't matter how late we go.
Okay.
Do you want to just play it by ear and then see after we end this what time it is. And then see if you want to do that 0.5 on animated ones. Maybe we could just go for like 30 minutes or something.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, basically, let's see how I am also, whether I still have a voice after this, because I've been so nasally. I don't know how long I'm going to last.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can totally blame the weather in Seattle for this, by the way, because it poured and then it stopped and then it drizzled and then it poured and then it stopped and then it drizzled and it basically just repeated that over and over again.
Yeah, well, welcome to the state of Washington, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. They actually get less precipitation than New York on average.
Huh.
Like this was like out of the ordinary for it to actually be pouring there, but the weather was so insane basically just to prove that we should not move to Seattle.
So what does scheduling look like for 100?
Well, I'm thinking, okay, let's see. Today's the 10th, so let's schedule it tentatively for the 24th.
Okay.
All right, and we'll see if anybody's available that day, and if we need to do it a different day during the week, that's fine. But I'll send out the multiple PMs like I did that the last time, and yeah, maybe even a couple emails to people and just be like, you need to be on this show. Seriously, you need to be on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see where it goes. And it's a given that you'll be on all of them.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So let's do this. So I got all four here, and I can't wait to talk about the American Idol reference in fucking Clone Saga. Jesus Christ. Oh, that pissed me off. All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1... Welcome to episode 99 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast voted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as, wait a minute, 99 episodes? Seriously? 99 episodes? This show has lasted 99 episodes? The hell, people? Why are you still listening? Why are you still 99 episodes you've been listening to the show. Do you have problems? Do you have issues? Why are you listening to Ian Levinstein and Brent Cassina talk time after time here on Comic Timing? Why are you doing that? You're not Comic Timing.